Hey guys.
I'm on my boat.
Hi. Hello.
How's it going?
And we're having some drinks, so I won't be on the show tonight. Sorry. My bad.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
We're all like guns, and a lot being free. Because so I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 148. Yes, I am back. I'm Mike, and with me tonight I have Benny.
Hello.
Thomas.
Hello.
And special guest, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good, good. Busy day at the range. Bad.
Well, Thomas, since you're talking about the range, why don't you start us off?
Okay, well, this week, I took that new scope off that I bought for the BL-22. It just added way too much weight. You know, the gun balanced so nicely in my hand. And the rifle weighs the same as a 10-22, you know, at plus an inch and a half of barrel. And it just when you hold the receiver, it just balances really nicely. And the scope added like a pound and a half, so I just couldn't handle it. So I tried. I had a really light Browning reflex sight that I had laying around the house, and I mounted it on. But I used those Weaver adapters I bought, and it was still too tall, so I took it off. And then I discovered what the owner's manual meant about possible damage using incorrect rings. No, I didn't damage it, but I did some research, and the 3/8 groove is closer to 10 millimeters. So the decimal equivalent to 3/8 is 0.375, and 11 millimeter is 0.43307. So don't use 11 millimeter, even if it says it fits both, because it doesn't. But I didn't do any damage to the top. I was worried about it. But my 795 had the same type of rings on it, or grooves, and when I put a rail on that, I gouged the heck out of the receiver, so I'm glad I didn't mark that one. So I'm still searching for a light reflex or a red dot, preferably a 2 or 3 MOA. I just can't find any with 3/8 bases. Most of them are 5 or 6, so... And 5 or 6 is okay if you're close or medium distance, but if you're doing any, you know, longer, like 25, 50 yards for longer precision shots, it doesn't work. I did find a USA source who makes a spring kit for BL-22. Yay, $25. Unfortunately, he doesn't have an export license, so I may have Benny pick up something next time he goes to Baltimore. And I was going to do a takedown to take it apart, and then I realized at the last minute that it might require a special reassembly tool, like my Marlin 336, and I found out that it did, so I'm glad I didn't take it apart, because I might not be able to put it back together without the stupid tool. So it looks like I'm going to have to take the gun to Keith Long to get it done. I was going to take it to John at sales, but last time I put a gun in for him for a trigger job, it was 6 months before I got it back, so I think I'll take it to Keith Long. Let's see. So that Hawk that I took off the BL-22, I put it on my Marlin 1894 because it's meant for hard-kicking air rifles, and I figured, you know, it would stand up to 44 Magnum, and it did. It stood up really well. I didn't. I forgot how much that stupid thing kicks. I mean, my shoulder is still black and blue after 150 rounds of full power 230 grain 44 mags. Because when I originally put optics on that gun, I put it on my Predator Rest, and that absorbed a lot of the recoil. Well, Saturday I just put on a couple beanbags and my shoulder got the beating. Today, went to the club match. I had the fastest times with the major, but I got nailed in penalty, so I don't think I got that one. My second run was minor, 9mm. I did get a few penalties, so I might have gotten that one. I'm not sure. They probably won't post the scores up to the middle of the week.
When you say penalties, do you mean like an IDPA, you get points down for not being close to the center? Is that what you mean by penalty?
It depends. On one stage, there's 5 plates. If you miss a plate, it's a 1 second added to your score. They had a dueling tree, which I was going to talk about next. But we didn't actually do a dueling, but the dueling was you had to hit your 6 things. And then there's paper targets for the, because it was a 2-gun match today. So your first stage is with your AR, and I didn't have mine, the right holdover in mine. So they had 5 targets with a hostage. I was only getting 3 out of the 5. I missed a couple on that, and then I missed a couple on the dueling tree. So every time you do a miss, you have a second added to your score. That's the penalty that they do.
Okay. So you only had like 5 shots to hit 5 plates. Like, yeah, you couldn't do a makeup shot.
You can on the bowling pins, as many as you want. On the first five plates, as many as you want, because you're just eating up time. But the dueling tree, you only got six shots. That was it.
Okay.
No makeup shots on those. So, but it was fun. We haven't had as big a turnout as usually. Normally, we have like 25 people show up, sometimes 30. Last couple of shoots, there's been under a dozen people, but it's a really nice crowd, so it's always a lot of fun.
Well, it is the summer months, right? People are on holidays, gone camping, up at their cottage, things like that.
Yeah, and there's usual people, like regulars, that always show up. Like the fun shoot we had last week, that's usually been organized by, we call her the den mother, one of the members, older, not say older lady, but she's an older member. And she usually organizes, does a teddy bear, and she's never missed one. And I was really surprised to see she wasn't there last this year. But, you know, it's still fun, still good, good group of people. And tomorrow I have to go off to Odell Distributor, Phil Odell. He's having a Grand Power Dealer Demo Day tomorrow, and that's going to be at the Galt Sportsman Club. And Kayla, from DVC Ranges out in Vancouver, she's actually flown in, and she's one of our Grand Power sponsor shooters, so she's going to be there, and she's actually quite cute. I got to be there at 8 a.m. To set up for the show, because it starts at 9. It's like a two-hour drive, so I'm going to be up pretty early. And last time I was at the range, it had to be 4-5 years ago. It was my very first charity shoot when it was Reload Radio. It was at the Galt Sportsman Club. And he hosted it, and Trevor and Matthew and Jewel, they all drove in from New Brunswick. So it'd be nice seeing that range again. It was a nice club. What about you, Sarah? What'd you do with guns this week?
This week I shot an IDPA match today, actually, with Michael. So that was pretty fun. And
how'd you do?
Not as good as I would like. I had a bit of a malfunction on one stage, and I dropped two headshots on another stage, so those were 20 points down for that one. And I bought a gun last night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What do you buy?
I bought an M&P Pro 5-inch barrel. There is a backstory to that, though.
Okay.
So
we'll shut up.
Yeah. So Michael and I ordered holsters and mag holsters from Red Hill Tactical. And we got to pick the colors and all that stuff. So I got to have a lot of fun, and I picked a purple holster with a pink inside. So we got them yesterday, actually. Finally, they took a little while to ship out, about a month, but that's what they let you know when you order. And we were really excited to get them. And I go to, you know, put my gun in my new holster, and it doesn't fit. And I just had, you know, terrible flashbacks of getting my 1911 holster and it not fitting, and Mike having to pretty much remold it for me.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So this was a double layer, and I didn't really want to have to do that, especially because I remember listening to the episode. He said he'll fix things and that kind of thing. So I wanted to contact them to ask what was up with it. So I sent them an email, and it was Saturday, so I didn't hear back right away. And in the meantime, Mike and I started doing some research and discovered that maybe the M&P Pro 5-inch was slightly narrower than the M&P 1.0 4¼-inch.
The non-pro version.
Yes.
Ordered the wrong holster.
Well, I had ordered this one because I had been debating in the future. I thought I might like to get one because I shot one once and I really liked it. And instead of just getting the same holster that I already have, pretty much.
A 5-inch M&P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of getting another holster when I already have one for my M&P, I thought, oh, I'll get this one and my M&P will fit into it until, and then when I get my new gun, eventually, I'll already have a holster for it. So that was my thought process behind it. I thought I was being so clever. So unfortunately, when we discovered that, I sent them an email to ask them, like, is that a possibility that it maybe doesn't fit? Because it's supposed to, I was going to use it with this gun, but I know I ordered this other holster, and they said, yeah, it's like 1/10 of an inch narrower or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we can, you know, if you order one that'll fit your gun, we'll give you a discount. And I just wrote back, I'm like, no thanks, but no thanks, I think I'm just gonna buy a new gun instead.
So you bought a holster.
So I bought a holster, and now you're gonna buy a gun for it. I didn't have technically. So you bought a gun
for your holster.
So now I have to buy a gun for the holster.
Then
yes.
You have to buy a gun.
I had to. So I found a good deal online, and I bought one last night.
That excuse would not fly in my house.
It's this household's a little different than I feel like most households are when it comes to guns.
Right now, it's the ideal time to buy guns because the market is just saturated, and the dealers, all the retailers or distributors or whatever, they're offering incredible deals. Like right now, Williams has got a bunch of M&P, Smith & Wesson, the AR, the Sport.
Yeah,
like $675. They've dropped down again.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm kind of
because I'm on Firearms Outlet. I'm looking at them, and they're like $749.
Yeah.
So. No.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Gary. He works at. He said they're getting this week, or they're either going to be in this week or next week. But he said he quoted one of the girls $675 for it.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I don't know, because I also wondered, when we were looking around, we found a bunch of places that were like $200 more expensive, and we were wondering if these were maybe guns bought when the Canadian dollar was doing worse.
Well, that's what happens, because these guys, they'll order the guns, they could order it 6 months from now, and it may not get processed for 3 or 4 months, or they could have old stock that hasn't sold yet.
Yeah.
Or somebody else might have bought newer stock from a discounted price.
Yeah, so comparatively... Like when you bought it, like I said, there were some places that were selling the exact same gun for like $200 more.
Mm-hmm.
Like for $200 more, you could almost have picked up the M&P Core for the red dot.
I didn't want that one because there's not going to put a red dot on it. So no. I didn't see a point in it.
Yeah. Well, you shop around. It's always a good deal. Because when I was looking at that BL-22, last month they have a rebate for $50 off and I missed it. So I was really surprised to see a second rebate the next month for $100 off. So... shop around on the internet, because right now there's some really smoking deals out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even at Canadian Tire yesterday, I walked in there and they had some bricks of 22s were off. Like, they were asking $50 for a box of those Federal a couple of months ago. They're dropped them down to $29.95 now, clearing them out.
Oh, yeah, definitely pays. Like, I eventually bought it from Durham Outdoors, and I think they're a relatively newish business.
I'd say they've been around. I noticed them. In the last year.
Okay.
But I would say I had never heard about them before then.
Okay.
Now, they're just online though, right? Durham Outdoors?
Yeah, they don't have a storefront.
Yeah.
But they had the best price, and I read reviews on them, and they were all pretty positive, and so yeah.
And they had free shipping.
They had free shipping.
I was just about to complain, because there's a place that's like local to me. Whatever, True North Arms, right? So, like, I could, like, drive to their building, but they don't have a storefront, and you can't pick up at the store. So, I had to wait to order my crush washers, which, by the way, in the end, I didn't even need. To order these crush washers, I waited, because I didn't want to spend the $5 on this $2 part. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I went to their page, and the first thing that shows up is free shipping for orders over $100. So, they make it a little easier for you if they don't have a storefront.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that seems to be a pretty popular thing these days with pretty much all online businesses, I've noticed, is they all have their different, you know, what price point you have to meet, but generally $200-$300 and they'll give you free shipping. Or some places, I want to say SFRC, I think they selectively pick, like, oh, if you buy a gun from us, it's free shipping, I think. Don't quote me on that. Go to SFRC.com and find out. Or actually it's TheAmmoSource, I think, .com. Yeah.
Yeah, ammo source.
Cabela's or Bass Pros, it's anything over $100 is free shipping.
Yeah.
It all depends on what the product is, because a lot of companies, especially if they have brick and mortar companies, not online stores, like some products you can't get online. It has to be from a brick and mortar. And there's a minimum advertised price that they're allowed to sell something. They can't sell it below that price.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No, because like I know like Kelly's Sporting Goods, which is like out near London almost. I want to say London, but it's not. I don't know. Maybe it is. It's between
Kelly's. That's near Brighton.
It's between here, Toronto, and Windsor. That's all I know. Sort of.
That's only a small stretch of highway.
Yeah, just a small stretch, and they have like 200. I think it's 250, and it's free shipping. Over 250, but they're also like in the middle of nowhere, so like it makes sense. They're basically like an online store, I feel anyways.
Yeah.
Like I made the truck out once just to see what the store looks like, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So there must be two things. I know there's a Kelly's out past Brighton too.
Oh. I know they're at a Kelly's Sporting Good black website. I bought my SIG from them like years ago, so
It's in Inwood, Ontario. Courtright Lane, Inwood, Ontario.
Never been there.
Does anyone know where that is?
No.
I popped in there once just because I wanted to say I've been in the store.
There you go. Anyway, so anything else you did this week, Sarah?
I don't think so. Just shot the match and bought the Pro.
Okay.
I guess my turn?
Yeah, go ahead, Benny.
then we'll go back to Mike. So I tried to start reloading my 223. Didn't realize my brass... I didn't try to resize my brass. And I was having this weird thing where every so often the primer wouldn't like seat easily. Like I had to really crunch them in. And I was finding that I was getting some kind of shavings off. And even like eventually I had one that wouldn't go in properly. It's still sticking out a little. And I'm just not going to... I just stopped reloading. It's probably because either I need to swage the cases again, or because they are factory reloads from military brass, or I'm just gonna start my collection all over again, buy factory ammo and start from scratch. And I did get my birdcage timed properly. I grabbed a 3/4 wrench with my armor's wrench, and I managed to get it on snug. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I did in guns this week.
When you said shavings, are you getting them off the primer or off the brass?
They're off the primer because, well, the primers I have right now are
IVI?
ICC? No, ICC? What is it called?
CCI.
CCI. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm in a completely different...
I just waited to see if Mike got it, too. They're a very hard CCI. Primer, too.
Right, so I'm trying to put CCI, and they're silver. Going into brass, and I have these like crescent shavings coming off. Plus, like you can see, like the last one I tried to load, it's really like deformed and sticking out really oddly. So I'm gonna stop doing that now before I get a discharge at my bench. And
so you need a swaging tool then.
Either I need a swaging tool, which the only one I know of off the top of my head is Dylan, which is I think $300 or something.
Yeah.
So I think I'm either going to have to either borrow from someone or just maybe just like start from scratch. Either sell my brass or throw it away and start anew.
I might have some brass for you that's not IVI.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, because I am using the primer cup for, I think it's 41 Magnum. Should be. Unless it's for 9mm. I don't have to check. Either way, I have to change the my primer cup on my RCBS press. So yeah, that's all I really did in guns this week. Try to get a review out. It's waiting for approval for the pictures, but I finally wrote my review on my Jericho. So hopefully I'll have that out this week sometime.
I'm assuming it's going to be a positive review.
It is a positive review. It's very. How to say, it's probably the gun I've shot the most out of all my firearms. I've at least put 2,000 rounds through it, and I don't think I've put that much through anything else. Like, my Tavor has almost 1,000, and most of it wasn't me. I might have put more than that through the Ruger American. And yeah, like, my Marlin has 10, I've put 10 bullets through, 10 bullets through that, and I've had other people put maybe 30 total, so it's not a, yeah. My highest round count is through my Jericho, and it's definitely well worked in, and I love the gun. So
that's good.
It's got a decent trigger too. I liked your Jericho, it, especially with the all steel bottom. It was very comfortable to shoot.
Yeah.
And why don't you message Mike at the Reloading Podcast and let him know the issue you're having? Maybe it's something where we might not be thinking about.
Maybe it just, but then I'll have to listen to the show and.
No, but you can just message him.
I've asked Thomas so many, Trevor, sorry. I've asked Trevor so many questions in the recent, I gotta, eventually I'm gonna have to start paying him for all the advice he's giving me.
A consulting fee?
Yeah. Although I did give him, I'm a little miffed because they didn't give me a shout out for this, but I did because, Adriel's always getting free stuff from people. So I'm like, you know what? I'll get something for Mike and, sorry. I'm so tired tonight, people. I'm sorry. Something for Trevor and Matthew. And I didn't even get a shout out for it. So whatever. Aww. Maybe that was my payment. So yeah, that's pretty much all I did in guns this week. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to condense this down a lot because I haven't been around for 2 weeks. So about 2 weeks ago, I ordered the belt from Persec Aware. Kind of talked with him back and forth a little while, and we kind of discussed about different options and what would be the best way to go about essentially making an IDPA belt, which is what I wanted. I didn't need the Velcro inside outside because of the IDPA rules and stuff like that. So we came up with a good combination, I think, and we're just waiting for the Cobra buckle to come in the right size.
Did you see his new post with the I think it's the Jeep, the hook?
Yes, I did see that. I'm not as big of a fan of the hook as I am of like the Cobra buckle.
No, the Cobra buckle has more of a presence, but if you're going low key or you're working on a budget, then the hook is definitely a viable option.
Yeah. So I did that. I reloaded a whole pile of 38s for the I-Corps regionals, 9mm for the IDPA provincials, because I found I like shooting the 147s over the 124 grains.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, so that way I could shoot what I like, and Sarah can shoot what she likes. Then I changed the sights on my GP... this is after the I-Corps regionals and the IDPA provincials. We'll cover that in the main topic. But after that, I kind of played around with my GP100 because I realized that one of my biggest weaknesses in shooting is my accuracy. I'm not an inaccurate shooter, but I'm not an accurate shooter, if that makes sense. So I decided to change out the front sight on my revolver back from the fiber optic to the plain black sight, because I don't remember where, but someone was saying, oh yeah, bullseye shooters, they just use like a plain black. They don't put anything in there because they want the crispest picture and like the best, you know, for the best shots. So I thought, okay, I'll change it back and I'll try that one for a match and see how it goes. Then I shot at an I-Corps match at Lower Trent Valley. They were hosting their first I-Corps match, which was very good. And after I think two stages and included about three misses with that black front sight, I changed back to the fiber optic. So that experiment did not last long. It did not help me with my accuracy. All it did was slow me down. So I think I'm going to, I looked into it and I saw Dawson Precision makes front sights for the GP100. So I'm thinking I might try theirs out because I've heard that theirs are better and you can get them in. Well, they're predetermined, but you can select how high your front sight is. So I'd like to pick something that's a little bit higher so that I'll have a little bit more vertical adjustment, because right now I'm out of vertical adjustment.
The thing about the plain black sight, that's more for precision shooting where you have a little more time, like a bullseye or PPC, where you take time lining up your shots. If you're doing action shooting, it's nice to have that front sight come up really fast and have that fiber optic.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
I think the big thing for me is when I looked at the fiber optic, if you imagine the perfect circle, if I make that perfect circle completely visible through my rear sight, my front sight is actually a little, like, is not lined up with the rear sight anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, so you're going to try a different fiber optic front sight
then. Yeah, so that's kind of my theory with the Dawson Precision, that I'll be able to change something a little different. And from what I've seen of people who do run Dawson Precision, the fiber optic is also a lot smaller. So it's not as big blaring brightness. So I don't know. I'll try it. See what happens. I changed out Sarah's single action army springs with wolf springs. And trigger was not really affected. I don't know if it really made much of a difference, but I'll change the other one out too and see if it does anything. After that, just more reloading stuff. And then I shot the IDPA match today as well with Sarah. And I did that with the Q5. Which, of course, the first time I go to a match with a semi-automatic in, like, 2 years, and someone else shows up with a revolver. So, serves me right, I guess. But, no, it went really well. I actually came second in this match, so I was really happy about that. All right, so, moving on to guns in the news. Story number one. PETA anti-hunting campaign backfires big time from the North American Hunter by Gain C. Young. Poor PETA. The anti-hunting, anti-ranching, anti-meat-eating, anti-pet beekeeping group recently unveiled its quote-unquote Shoot Selfies, Not Animals campaign on Facebook with disastrous results. Disastrous because it appeared as though at least 95% of the hunters on Facebook did just that. They used the free filter to superimpose PETA's hopes into their trophy pics rather than shoot new selfies to promote anti-hunting. Go figure.
It was everybody. I must have saw at least 40 or 50 of my friends had done that.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing it.
The first one I saw, I think, was like Trevor. Yeah. And I'm like, and I even said to Sarah, I'm like, there's no way did Trevor just switch to being like a PETA supporter. Like the world has, you know, hell has frozen over.
Yeah.
First Mill Serps, now PETA.
Yeah. I mean, and he already likes 1911. Did you see? He won with a 1911. He won the Ipswich Provincials? I don't know.
Possibly.
He hates to admit it, but a 2011 is a 1911. Yeah. It's just a wide body, but no.
Go listen to Slamfire Radio. I'm sure he'll tell us all about it. So, Benny, what's story number two?
Story number two. Always happens in Edmonton. It's like the Florida of Canada. The Edmonton
police. It's true.
It's true. Florida of Canada.
Florida man in America. Someone in Edmonton in Canada. The Edmonton police reported recovering two homemade, fully automatic submachine guns with suppressors. These were manufactured in a machinist shop just west of Edmonton last week, without the shop owner's knowledge. Also, a suppressed Beretta 9mm pistol and modified Tsumi machine gun were also discovered during the police investigation. Two people were arrested and jointly charged with 62 criminal offenses. So tell us again how more gun laws will keep guns out of hands of criminals. I just think it's interesting that the offenses here was the manufacturing of illegal firearms. Like, well, you know, the crime
Gun laws are going to keep the guns out of the hands of criminals, right?
Right, but like even in this case, the crimes that are committed, that were committed, are firearm offenses. Like, it wasn't, armed robbery or attempted murder or attempt to traffic.
Well, there.
Or actually, I can't say that one. Says, I don't know.
Yeah, there was a trafficking charge, a gun trafficking charge in there too.
Yeah, it says 62 so many criminal offenses.
Right, but like, what are they? Like, I feel like I think we should go through them.
It would take up half the paper if they printed that.
I did. I had them in there. I go, man, this is too long. I took them all out. But most of them were manufacturing, possession, anything that you can think of except transportation charges.
Well, maybe they never moved them. Maybe they just made them at the shop and they never left.
I'd like to know how the guy that actually owned the shop had no idea what these guys were doing.
Well, you know, you show up on Monday and then, you know, you're there in the morning. You leave at noon because, you know,
you own the company,
doing what they need to. Yeah, you own the company. You leave at noon. You come back on Wednesday morning because why not? Or you go on vacation and then, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that people could get around this. Or, you know, ignorance is bliss, right?
So, well, it's not hard to make an illegal firearm then.
Well, the Sten was designed to be made in people's garages in London during the Second World War. So, because the English couldn't maintain manufacturing. Like, they couldn't maintain the numbers they needed, so.
Yeah.
Very true.
Soon knowledge will be illegal.
It already is.
Well, it's already legal to speak the truth in this country, so.
Yeah, but speaking it and knowing it are two different things.
This is true.
All right, so Sarah, what's story number three?
Story number three is, according to Peel Police, the gun picture below is a Ruger ATI 22 assault rifle. So I guess they made an arrest, and this is one of the guns they confiscated, and they have deemed it to be an assault rifle.
It's an SKS.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
in an ATI stock.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they got Ruger from.
No.
And nothing on that firearms Ruger.
No.
You know what? They probably Googled ATI because that's the only thing that has any words on it that they understand. Let me do it right now. ATI stock. And we'll see what shows up.
Probably comes up as 1022.
No, I get ATI technologies.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah. First thing that shows up is basically shotguns, and they're like, okay, it wasn't a pump action shotgun, so then it's a Ruger.
Is it really? That's what they did. They Googled the stock.
There's a Mini 14 in there, but, you know.
It doesn't matter. It's Ruger, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't figure out which one it was, so they're like, we'll just put the brand in there. Call it 22.
Exactly.
This is the firearms office of the Peel Regional Police.
I think this is an example of all firearms offices everywhere.
Well, police Sadly. Departments in general.
Yeah. Thomas, what's story number four?
Story number four. You guys ever hear of a guy named Kyle Myers?
Nope.
No, but I heard of his pseudonym.
Yes. Well, he's the guy that does those shoot 'em up, blow 'em up with Tannerite YouTube videos. You know, the guy's got really bad fake Russian accent. Well, Kyle actually works at a car dealership with a Russian coworker who's Russian, and that's where Kyle got the character idea from. Well, he's been under investigation since January 6, 2013, when Mr. Keith Ratcliffe, a member of his production team, who also supplied the videos or the guns for his videos, was found shot dead in his own gun store. Due to the angle of the shot, police suspect it was an intentional homicide. The victim was armed. He had a CCW, but he had not drawn his own gun. There was no signs of forced entry into the business, and the surveillance equipment, along with some firearms, had been taken. There did not appear to be a struggle based on the homicide scene, making the police believe that the victim was comfortable with and knew his killer, or he was ambushed. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation said it's still investigating the homicide, but however, it's currently a cold case. And then later that month, Kyle's Georgia residence was also searched by the ATF alongside the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And investigators also searched his dad's farm nearby where they did the filming for the videos. No charges were ever laid or property was ever taken by the police. So one would think that somebody being investigated by both a federal and a state law agency might be a little more careful with what they do because, you know, these agencies are capable of monitoring, for example, your phone, social media, email, YouTube, or your post office box. It seems that Kyle is not the smartest fake Russian in Georgia. On August 7th this year, the Franklin County Sheriff's Office and the Appalachian Regional Drug Enforcement Office arrested Kyle after he picked up almost an ounce of high-grade honey oil from his postal box. Warrants were obtained after his arrest, and his home was searched by federal authorities for firearms and explosives. No explosives were found, but, of course, drugs and 50 firearms were seized. Myers has since been released on bail, released from jail on a $10,000 bail, and faces charge of possessing a scheduled one drug possession and other drug-related paraphernalia. Actually, in Canada, an ounce of honey oil, you'd be trafficking charges. This just proves that Kyle's life choices are just as stupid as his fake Russian videos. If he's convicted of a felony, we will not see any more videos from Kyle because he'll be prohibited from owning firearms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he sort of went downhill after that whole incident.
Yeah, I've heard him on a couple of... was it a podcast? Yeah, I heard him on a podcast, and I think he put out a video last year, but I haven't seen anything much after that. But, you know, if you're under investigation, you don't order drugs for the post office.
I don't even know what high-grade honey oil is, but I think that's okay.
It's very expensive. And that's all I'll say. Or it used to be many years ago.
You're not tracking the highs and lows of the honey oil market, Thomas?
I've been sober and clean for quite a while.
All right.
I will shut up now.
Thank you. What's new in the industry? So, Sarah, what's up?
So, news item number one, Thompson Auto Ordnance introduces 9mm Tommy gun from guns.com by Chris Edgar. This has been edited down. For the first time in nearly 100-year history of the Chicago typewriter, it is being offered in a production model with a centerfire caliber smaller than 45 ACP. The Carr Firearms Group, who owns the Auto Ordnance line, introduced the Thompson model T5 9L20 carbine chambered in 9mm Parabellum this week, complete with a 20-round magazine stick. Not that we'll do any of us good in Kanuckistan, since the Liberals deemed even the new semi-auto-only version prohibited back in 1995. Apparently it's too scary looking and kittens will die. But if you live in the land of the free, you can now own a 9mm or 45 semi-auto version of the neutered remnants of a Thompson submachine gun, minus the full auto. With only about 2,400 original full-auto Thompson submachine guns in a transferable state in the U.S., prices range from $30,000 to $75,000, depending on manufacturer, conditioner, and provenance. A model 1921A, believed to have been owned by Bonnie and Clyde, but without historical documentation to substantiate this provenance, sold at an auction on January 21st, 2012 in Kansas City for $130,000.
Whoa, That's a lot of coin.
Yes.
That would be cool. I don't know if I'd buy one, but I definitely would be cool to shoot one of these. But then again,
I'd love to try one at least.
Want
to
shoot a BB gun version?
Is it being offered in your course, Benny?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that. Well, we're not. I don't think we're going to take that route.
Well, considering what I read this, it's like, you know, if I was going to shoot it, even if it was going to be semi-automatic, semi-only, I'd probably want to shoot in 45 just to get as close as you can to the original experience.
Oh, yeah. I'd want to have the big compensator on the front and the big drum magazine and everything.
Yeah. I was going to say stick or drum.
Probably drum.
I almost bought a 22 because it had a drum magazine. Remember I was debating between the Ruger and the Pieta?
I think it's Pieta.
I think it was a Pieta 22 for Maple Seed. And I was like, well, this one's got a drum.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'll never have to do a reload.
I used to know a guy that actually had one. He was grandfathered for it, for a full auto. And this was years and years ago. And I never did get to fire it. But you can't even take them to the range now. Even if you're licensed for it, no range is approved for a full auto anyway.
Not CFO ranges.
True.
So if you happen to find a range that's certified by, say, Department of Defense, then you're good.
And especially if you happen to be able to get onto the property, like if you're going to do a three-gun match at one.
Yeah, but then they would have to give you the special, the SAP to take it there, to transport it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you need to get one anyways if you're going to a military range. Exactly.
Yeah.
There is a monthly, I think it is, a monthly shoot by, I think it's the ORA. They have, I don't know all the details, but if anyone is interested, contact me and I'll see if I can get you the details. There is a monthly shoot where they go to, I think it's okay, I'm going to stop pretending I remember any of these details. But
for any information, contact Brian Bolivar. He'll let you know.
Exactly. And you can, or me, and I'll try and pass all the information. And basically, it's just like a fun shoot. You go for a day, and I think they have some form of competition there. And you have to tell them if you're shooting larger calibers because it's a DOD range, so most of them are not certified for anything above 223 or 308. But yeah, I'm looking forward to go one of these days. I'm really busy. The next shoot is like right before the busy season, so I won't be able to go.
I haven't been onto a D&D base since I was in the Air Cadets, and we got to fire the full auto FNs. That they were a hoot. Absolute hoot.
A hoot. Wow. You're dating yourself, Thomas.
Well, back then it was a hoot.
I haven't been on a military base since 2012. And yeah.
Yeah, when you're in active service.
Yeah. That was the last time, and yeah.
Anyways, Thomas, why don't you take us away with story number two?
Story two? Well, there's a new Glock. That's all. Okay. It's still ugly as a brick. But they got a Gen 5 out. And they finally got smart about their barrels, since Lone Wolf has been making a killing for years, making decent barrels for Glock. So, Generation 5, no more polygonal rifling. The Glock 5 barrels are conventionally rifled with matched crowns. Glock's calling it hexagonal rifling, but it's still rifled barrel. The barrels will not be interchangeable with any other Glocks, which is kind of silly. Recoil springs are proprietary to the Gen 5 as well. The new striker assembly features a teardrop shaped striker, an entirely revised and lighter trigger mechanism, and it's only available in 9mm right now. There are no finger grooves, but it does come with multiple back straps and some Habifer tails. Ambidextrous slide stop levers and reversible ambi mag release. It's got a flared magwell. It's got a new finish. They're calling it NDLC finish, so it's no more Tenifer. And actually, I think Glock is probably the only person that was making Tenifer, because I think it's banned in the United States. No locking block pin in the trigger mechanism either. There's three different sight configurations. There's a three-dot night sight, a Miraglow Tritum photoluminous sight, and then the plastic standard sights. There's no plan for a Glock Gen 5 MOS yet. Don't ask me what MOS says. I didn't look it up. And the Glock Gen...
That you can mount a red dot on it.
Oh, okay.
No.
Why wouldn't they put it for optics on a brand new gun? Because
It's just like it's only a 9. Just give it some time.
Okay.
They can only produce so many at a time, Thomas.
And the magazines apparently have an orange follower too. So actually check out Caliber Magazine's latest issue. They have something on it. And the Firearms blog also has more information on it, on the Glock. I mean the Glock. Maybe it'll actually like.
Does it have a supported chamber?
I doubt it. They're not that smart. Maybe with the back strap, I might like the grip angle. I don't know. It's not that I dislike Glocks. They're a good product. I just hate how they fit in my hand. They're extremely uncomfortable. I fired some nice Glocks with mega trigger jobs, but it hurts. It's just really uncomfortable to shoot for me. Where other people, it's perfect. Are there any Glock fans in this podcast?
I have never shot a Glock.
I have never shot a Glock.
Me neither.
See? Rest my case.
That's not really much of a case, though. Who here doesn't like driving a Corvette? Well, who here had driven a Corvette?
I have.
Well, there you go. You're the only person. So how can you really make that statement? You're talking about a pool of one person.
I bet you if Sarah picked up a Glock, she would not like it because she likes her single stack 1911. If you really like a 1911, the Glock will feel kind of unnatural in your hand. Where other people, it's the other way around.
Hey, Sarah. I know what. What did you shoot this week in your IDPA match?
My M&P.
And what did you just buy?
An M&P.
Oh, that doesn't sound like 1911 to me.
No.
But she has a 1911.
I do want one.
The grip angle of an M&P is, to me, is a lot different than a Glock. I don't mind shooting an M&P. They're nice.
I like the M&P platform.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just giving Tom a hard time.
I know.
At least there's been no old man jokes yet.
I think they're there coming. Was one.
I think you missed it. Oh, gosh. His memory's slipping.
It was a hoot, right? The memory already stripped the gears years ago. It was a honey oil.
Okay, so moving on.
Don't make me Google that.
I know, we need to look it up now.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so this week's main topic was Sarah's and my recap of the two big matches that we shot. Well, I shot one, I shot one, you shot.
I shot one and spectated at one, you shot two.
There we go. Thank you. I speak well. I should do a podcast.
So good at English.
Now, spectated, that's only because you had motherly duties, though, right?
No, it was first time in a while that there was no baby to wrangle. She was at Grandma and Grandpa's for the weekend.
Oh, excellent.
So I got
to... You guys get to happens.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad got some alone time for a change.
Well, we got to... went to a cottage with, like, three other people. So not really, but I got to watch the match without having to worry about chasing someone down to make sure they had their earmuffs on and their eyes on and weren't running downrange.
All that usual fun stuff you don't want your kid to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, Benny knows that one.
Yeah.
So the first one was the I-Corps, which was the Canadian Regionals. So I-Corps is actually only in Ontario right now, so... We call it the Canadian Regionals. It's also the Provincials. I don't know. You could pretty much give it any title you want.
Yeah, they're trying to go out east, but right now it's only established in Ontario. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it will move around because I would love to have, quote, I'm doing air quote here, have to go out to like, you know, New Brunswick or Nova Scotia to shoot, you know, Canadian Regionals. Anyways, yeah, so it was held at the Peterborough Fish and Game Club, which I had never been to. That is one really nice club.
It's a nice range. I did a couple of sick matches there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, well, for starters, you go to most ranges and there's, like, no matter how much they try and put grass in, there's always, like, dirt just from the sheer number of people. But you go to this place and it's just perfectly maintained lawn, like grass, which is a nice change.
Yeah.
When you're used to going to...
Sand pits.
Yeah, sand pits. That's a nice way of putting it. So it was really good. What was it? 9 stages. One had to get thrown out. It looked so much fun, but they were having too many malfunctions with it the day before when the SOs were shooting. You would start and you would push down a platform. And when you pushed it down, like on one side, it would activate some swingers and the other side, it would activate a drop turner. So you do a couple of shots. You have to move up, push down the next platform. Then, you know, a bunch of things would happen to your left and your right. You move up, push another one down, left. Like all this stuff was constantly going on. It was like one stage of just like activators, one after the other. So it would have been a really awesome stage, but unfortunately they had too many difficulties with it the day before and it just didn't quite work well. Outside of that though, it was 9 stages were left, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 stages were left and it was a lot of fun. There were a lot of different challenges. There were what I would call stand and deliver from quite a distance away. And they had that. They had everything from like one stage where you're less than like a yard away from three targets. But the way they set it up is you had to move to be able to hit each target. And there was like a sequence. So each one had to get one, then each one got two, then each one got three. And it was really fun. It was really fast paced. I shot with a lot of great people and met a lot of great people because it was, you know, it was the Canadian regional. So there were Americans that came up and there were other people that don't normally come out to, you know, maybe the club matches out my way. So it was a really great time. Unfortunately, I came fourth in the classic division. So I just missed the podium. But with that said, I say I just missed with air quotes. I missed third place by 45 seconds. So the guy in third smoked me by a long shot. So it's not that I was really that close to the podium. A lot of good sponsors. Good time. Yep. And then after that, Sarah and I got in the car and drove 3 hours.
Yeah.
Straight north up to North Bay where we shared a place with a couple other shooters. And the next day we went to the IDPA Provincials at the Eagle Lake Gun Club. You want to talk for a bit?
Sure. I'll read your notes. So at the IDPA Provincials Eagle Lake, it was actually a really nice day out. They were calling for terrible weather, but yeah. We managed to avoid it. There was 8 stages overall there. And they were really varied, I found. Like, it wasn't a lot of the same thing. Like, there was a lot of, like, movement, I found. There was one stage where you had to, like, flip a table and shoot behind from behind there. But then there was another stage where you started at one end of the bay and you pretty much just walked across the whole thing. You had to activate a drop turner. You had to go prone. You had to shoot steel. And that was all in one stage. Yeah. There was just stand and shoot in a row. Like
a standard stage.
A standard stage, I guess, is what you call it. And there's just a lot of variety in it. So it was really interesting. You didn't really have time to get lackadaisical about it because you constantly had to be thinking about what the next stage would bring for you. Yeah. So I had a lot of fun shooting it. I messed up a couple stages, but all in all, it was a good day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have any malfunctions?
I don't think so. Did
no.
I?
No, I don't
no,
think
no,
so.
I didn't think so.
Actually, yeah, you did. When you went prone. Didn't you have a problem there?
Oh, my problem was that going prone, I was limp wristing. So I was getting, I had a jam.
But did the case got stuck in the slide?
Yeah, like it didn't eject properly. So, yeah.
Stovepipe.
Yeah, stovepipe. Sorry. Well, it didn't really stick out though. It just kind of got jammed in there.
Just because it doesn't look like a stovepipe, like an actual stovepipe, doesn't mean that it wasn't. So
technically it was a stovepipe. And
which gun were you using?
Yeah, my M&P. It's because I was limp wristing because I was prone. It was not in a very good position, but managed my tap rack bang drill. I remembered it and was able to clear it pretty quickly.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Yeah, and there was one stage where you had to like sit in an outhouse and then put some hooks and on the wall because that was like you pulling up your pants, and then you had to shoot clockwise, but you couldn't do it a certain way, and they kept calling penalties on people. But
oh no, it was you had to do 2 to the body and 1 to the head on the 2 targets. So some people were doing 2 to the body, 1, then they'd move up to the head, shoot 1 to the head, then they'd go across and shoot the other guy to the head.
Yeah.
But they hadn't shot the body yet.
Yeah,
that's where they're getting a penalty.
That was a pretty fun stage though, because you shot the first 2 targets from sitting, and then you had to get up and run and shoot around a wall for the rest of the targets. I think those are my favorite stages, is when you're constantly, when you're moving through a house or a maze, and you're going from like wall to wall or fault line to fault line to take out like 2 targets, and then you move up and take out the other 2 from around a different corner. Like, I like that kind of movement.
Like, there was one stage, I don't know what they called it, but I'm going to call it the house stage.
Oh, the NASCAR stage.
Yeah, the NASCAR stage. You actually started laying down because you had fallen asleep watching the race, and you have to get up, retrieve your gun, and then you shoot, and you're walking through your house and kind of thing. So you're shooting left, right, you know, you move forward and shoot down one, air quote here, hall, and then you have to move back and go into another room and shoot around another wall and stuff. That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a really fun date. And there were a bunch of different ways you could do that, because me and some of the, I'll say agile people, chose to get up and just jump over the quote unquote couch, which was quicker theoretically, but I don't know, scared that you're going to fall and make a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that issue.
But when you jumped, did you have the gun in your hand or in the holster?
No, it wasn't even on you. It was in a box on a barrel.
Okay.
That's why I did it. If I had the gun on me or something like that, I would not necessarily trust jumping over a wall, at least not as aggressively as I did, or at least remember doing it. But
if you're supposed to fall asleep, they should have called it the football match or something.
Well, it's NASCAR. I mean, how exciting is a left-hand turn?
This is true. This is true.
Anyways, yeah, so I shot my Q5. I did good. I think I'll shoot exclusively with it next year. But unfortunately, I didn't get that 300 rounds that Benny told me to put through it before the match. So any faults I have, I blame myself for not getting that 300 rounds through.
Well, if it ran flawlessly, then I guess you hit that magic number beforehand.
Well, I say the gun ran flawlessly. I didn't run flawlessly.
You did pretty good.
How'd you guys do overall then?
Overall, I came 9th overall.
I believe I came 76th.
So, okay, in which one? So not as good. In which match? So there's two different matches. So how did you guys place in each different match?
Okay, so the I-Corps match, I came 13th out of... Oh, wait, nope, this is the wrong I-Corps match. I came 20th out of 54, or 4th for the Classic Division.
I won Palest Spectator.
Yes, you did win Palest Spectators. People commented on that even after the match.
So,
what's Palest Spectator?
I just sat
palest.
I sat in the shade all day, Palest and Spectator. People commented on how pale I was.
Even after a match of sitting outside all day. So you came...
I think it was 76. Right below Ray.
Yep, 76.
Yep.
You came 76, and this was out of 93 shooters were at the provincials. And I came 3rd in my class and division, and how did you do in your class and division?
I'm not sure. I was signed up for ESP because I was thinking I was going to shoot my 1911, but I had been having issues with it, so I decided to try, like, to shoot my M&P, but I forgot to change my class.
Yeah.
So I should have been an SSP, but I shot an ESP. So I think in ESP, I came near the bottom. Not very good.
Yeah.
I think I came like 2nd last or something in ESP.
Yeah.
If I was in SSP, I would have done a little bit better, but
yeah,
it doesn't really matter to me. I look at the overall score.
Yeah.
But in the ladies division, I came 2nd. So that was nice.
Yeah. That was so close too.
Yeah.
Like you almost got 1st at the ladies, which... I'm sure you would have appreciated that.
Yeah. I had a couple stages where I hit a non-threat or two and missed targets completely. And so those penalties added up. And when you have like 101 points down versus 55 points down, if I had maybe just tightened it up a little bit there, I would have done a lot better.
Were they target rich stages? Like was there a lot of cardboard out there?
Some, yes.
I would say, yeah. Like, I mean, there were some, like, technically I won the first stage.
Was the Mozambique?
Was the double Mozambique. So two to the body, one to the head. Then you had to do a reload and two to the body, one to the head on the second target. And that was more of like a warm-up stage that everyone did no matter where you actually started, which was really nice. So it's nice to, I like it when clubs do that because it's nice to kind of get the, you know, brush the dust off kind of thing. So, I would say actually it was a lot of shots. Like
I remember we did take a lot of shots. Like,
yeah, I mean, for an IDPA match where they limit the number of rounds, like your maximum number of rounds, like I'm just looking at the match booklet here, 17 rounds, 15 rounds, 16, 18, and the maximum that IDPA, the way that they rate it is the maximum that you can force someone to shoot, like minimum rounds in a course of fire is 18. So these are all right at the top, 16 rounds, 16 rounds. And that doesn't include any makeup shots or if you want to take an extra shot to dump around or anything like that. Yeah, so relative to IDPA, it was quite target rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because like I've seen videos of people doing stages. I don't know if it's IPSC or IDPA, but it's just like there's just like a sea of cardboard. And I just can't imagine how anyone would know what they have or haven't hit. And like... did I hit that one or did I miss it? Do I have to go back? And it's just like
the first stage.
Too many targets.
Well, that's why I use a 45 so you can see the holes.
Yeah. Well, the first stage we shot outside, it was like you, when you flip the table, there was five targets in the middle, and then there was three or four.
Four on the left, four on the right.
And then two more in the middle. So that was a lot. And then, because the first row was all headshots, remember?
Yeah.
And it was like target, non-threat, because someone in our squad just went non-threat, non-threat, non-threat instead of the targets. He got the alternating pattern wrong.
Yeah.
So that was a costly stage for him.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I would say there was quite a bit of targets.
Yeah. They weren't necessarily all easy shots. There were a lot of hard cover shots. They used quite a bit of non-threats in there too. Mm-hmm.
There are some fast drop turners.
Yeah, they move fast, and they set them up to make it hard. Like one of the stages, you had to pull a popper, which activated a drop turner. Well, you're pulling it with your strong hand, and you still have your concealment in the way, so you have to pull it. It starts activating the drop turner. You got to sweep your cover garment out of the way, get your gun out, and shoot the drop turner twice, and it only shows once. So some people were panicking about it, and then they would get like five shots off on it. So It seemed, I think it was mentally harder than it actually was, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, like the IDPA match today we shot, they put like clothing on the targets.
Yeah.
And that really messed me up because I just saw, I couldn't see the zero in the body, so I must not be able to shoot at it. So I pretty much did a headshots match.
Yeah.
Which could explain my not so great score, but
yeah, I thought you did good. You got quite a few headshots.
It was a good practice run for my headshots because I'm not usually that great at them, so it was a good practice match. But that really threw me off. I knew I could technically shoot at them, but I didn't want to.
Yep.
I think of what else. It feels like so long ago.
Well, it was kind of like 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, the summer's just flying by, too.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Well.
It was a really good match. I was really impressed with the setup they had, and the lunch they provided was really good.
The lunch was like, what, pulled pork?
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, it was so good. Like, for a meal at the range, like, that was a good meal.
They had really good prizes for the draw, like rifles, shotguns, a kayak.
They had a pistol, an AR.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a kayak. Which I thought, like, that'd be cool to win, but how do I get it home?
We had someone who volunteered to bring it home for us. Yes. I really wanted to win that kayak, and I did not. I won a cleaning kit.
Yeah.
Well, if you know me, that was probably the worst prize I could have won.
Well, would you rather have won the tap and die set that I won?
I don't know. Then probably, because then I wouldn't have to use the cleaning kit.
Yeah, I know.
We know who's going to be using the cleaning kit, right, Mike?
Yeah, I know. So that was pretty much about it. You want to read off some of the sponsors?
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of sponsors there because they had a lot of good prizes. And they had people sponsoring lunches and stages and such. So stage sponsors included Aztec Armory, John's Armory, Brandon Steele, Direct Belt, the Eagle Lake Marine, Lefert North America, Durins? They have a very fancy script in their logo. I think it's Duin's Pine Ridge Resort. And Ron Henry Jewelers, they donated a men's ring.
Yeah.
That you could randomly win in a bag, as well as Rouge River Arms. And the lunch sponsors were Double Tap and True North Machine. And table sponsors were Al Flattery's Outdoor Stores, Lefebvre's Sorcerer Adventure, Meprolite, Pro Nature, and Trapper. As well as the Eagle Lake Gun Club was very nice. I've never been there, and it was really nice. I quite enjoyed their clubhouse.
Yeah.
They had an indoor range.
Yeah, that was the first. Well, I mean, I guess. Well, I think we've shot indoors.
Yeah.
Like once or twice. I shot indoors at one time with Thomas, but this was the first time shooting like a match or at least a stage indoors, which was. It was kind of weird because I'm not used to the pressure that like the filtering system created, which, you know, it sounds kind of weird. Oh, I'm at a gun range, you know, all the pressure of, you know, rounds going off, but the air conditioner that bugs me.
Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah, I'd never shot inside either. And
I was kind of worried about, like, the lighting and running around, but I had no issues once we started moving.
No, they had the lights on the targets properly, so there's no issue there.
Yeah. And I just wanted to thank the sponsors at the I-Corps Canadian Regionals match, which were Maverick Enterprise, the East Peterborough Lions Club. They actually did the lunch there. Aztec Armory, Absolute Accuracy, Limestone Bullet, ITS, which is, I think, a trucking company, Canadian Welding Skills, A-Hit Incorporated, the
Peterborough
Gun Club, and Ranch Products. So thank you to all those sponsors for both those matches, because it's the sponsors that A, line up the prize table, mm-hmm. and they really make it, it helps draw in the crowds, right? Whether you win or not when you go to those matches, doesn't really matter. It helps draw in crowds and it makes it a better match.
I really liked the provincial match. I really liked the variety that they came up with, and it was a really well put together match. Like, I was very nervous, and I stayed kind of nervous throughout the day because the matches, the stages were so challenging, but they were so fun at the same time. Like, when you said there was an IDP match this weekend, I was like, well, of course we have to sign up for it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to keep going, so.
I would say that was one of your best matches, at least since after the baby came.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Felt consistent.
Yeah. It was good.
Good. So I guess Cowboy Action sort of slipped to the side right now, has it not, Sarah?
Not really. There just hasn't been many matches that I can attend. They're either we had terrible weather at the beginning of the season, so they were getting canceled or moved to weekends where we weren't home or we had already signed up for other things. Yeah. So
it's just been unfortunate, been bad timing.
Yeah, I've only been to two so far.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's not been a lot more than that. I'm sure there is, but I'm hoping to get to the next one in September.
Is it in September?
Yeah.
I think there's actually two in September.
Yeah.
If you're interested in shooting cowboy in Eastern Ontario, get a hold of the show. And we'll send you the links that we know of for cowboy matches. I'd say that to Tom or to George, but George doesn't go shooting anymore. He sails a boat.
He did go shooting this week.
I'm on a boat.
Yes. I'm not making it.
I want to go shooting this week, though.
That should be.
Listener Terry, his friend Terry came in from out west, and he went shooting with Terry.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He was going to do that on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be this week.
He's not here to tell us about it, so you can't even verify if he went.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He was probably on a boat.
He probably was.
This is true.
Take a good hard look at his boat.
Probably drinking, too.
I censored it. It's a family show.
I noticed that. Good word choice.
Oh boy. Anyway, so back to this podcast that we were doing about guns, not boats.
So we're on events?
Yes, events.
The only one that I have, and sorry, Ash, we forgot to put yours in this week. We'll make sure we put it in next week because we know your contest closes another month. The CSSA giveaway, this time it's a Vernet Caron. It's a high-quality European company manufacturing guns for six generations. I actually went online and looked it up. It's a French company. I can't guarantee it's made in France. It could be made in Turkey. But it's a double barrel, or sorry, double gun. So you get an 8x57 JRS. I actually had to look that up. So it's an 8mm Mosser with rimmed and a spherical bullet. And it also comes with an extra set of 20-gauge barrels, a single selective wallet with a cheek piece, tank safety, single triggers, ejectors, and the barrel, the rifle barrels are 560mm, and the 20-gauge barrel is 710, with a ventilated rib. Comes with three chokes, choke tube wrench, and deluxe carrying case, and an impressive trans target. So all you have to do is make a $20 donation to the CSSA, and they'll give you one free chance to win. But if you make three chances, you get for a $50 donation, and a $100 donation gets you 10 chances. And if I recall, if you do a $100 donation and you win, you also get a free CSSA membership, but only if you buy $100 tickets. So you can contact the CSSA at www.cssa/sila.org, or you can call the office at 1-888-873-4339. Or if you got this month's Caliber magazine, there'll be a brochure in the back that has a picture of it and everything.
There you go. That 8-point-something-something millimeter, I don't know. I've never really heard of it.
8x57 JRS. Apparently, it's a very popular European caliber. It's an 8mm based on the Mosser, I think. I looked it up. They said it was done by the Germans, and the J is a misnomer. It doesn't really mean what it's supposed to mean, so they said disregard it. It doesn't really mean anything. But
we named it something, but just don't skip it. It's like whoever came up with the word knife. Yeah, we started with a K, but just skip it.
Well, see, a bolt action rifle is going to have an extractor groove. So this one is actually made for a double rifle. So it's got a rimmed groove instead of a cutout.
Oh.
So it's meant to fit specifically a double gun compared to a bolt action.
Okay.
That's what the R stands for. And I think the S means because it's got a spear bullet. I'm not sure. But the S is the actual bullet type that's used.
Okay. So what would that, like an 8mm, be good for? Like deer, moose, bear?
I would sub probably up to Moose, I guess. 8mm, it's a pretty big round.
Yeah, okay.
It looks pretty cool, and they have a test target on it, and it looks like the two barrels are lined up pretty good, because the on this pamphlet, the shots are like they're 2 inches apart. I don't know how far away, but they have different laws and different calibers that they can use in Europe. So that caliber is popular over there or over here. I think they said it's equivalent to a 30-06.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's more of what I was looking for, like something that I could compare it to that we would know of.
I'd probably never use the rifle barrels, but I'd probably use the shotgun.
Yeah.
But it's worth $4,000, so hey, good price.
Yeah. So it's a good way to give the CSSA a little bit more sponsorship money so that they can do the great things that they do for us. And you get a chance of winning a $4,000 gun. So as far as I'm concerned, and currently it's a win.
I didn't see anything else from any of our advocacy groups to mention. So the CSSA are the only ones that have something right now.
Yep. So listener email. We didn't get any, what did you ask for last week, Benny? Criticism,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. So if you have, we didn't get any criticism this week. I mean, I guess that's good.
You guys are doing a good job.
Hopefully we're not the only ones listening to the show.
Any attention is good attention.
Yeah.
I did get a criticism at the gun club, but I can't repeat it.
Anyways, if you have any feedback, questions, comments, or criticisms, you may contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in the comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. We have no new iTunes or Stitcher reviews. Facebook likes, we are at 1,147.
Yay! You got one more like during the show.
Yep. And, yeah. So, shout-outs. Thomas, do you have any shout-outs?
My shout-out to Sarah. Thanks for coming on the show, Sarah.
No problem.
It's nice hearing your voice again.
Nice to participate sometimes instead of hanging out in our room.
Yeah. Well, you do help the show.
Yeah.
You do.
Somehow.
We hear you from time to time in the background before we start recording. We do appreciate the help.
Yeah. You help me do the show.
I was going to say, I'm good at bringing water.
And tempting beer. Us with cookies and beer. That don't exist.
They existed, the cookies. They were just, were not homemade. They were in a bag? Package?
Yeah, I think they're Oreos.
Yeah.
Anyways, do you have any shout-outs, Sarah?
I guess the shout-out is just to the IDPA staff at both at Eagle Lake. I know they took a lot of hard work to put on the match, and it was fantastic, as well as to the staff at EOSC's match today. We had Leela with us, and it was only one shoot session again, so they were really nice in making sure that we were on opposite ends of the shooting order so that one of us could be keeping an eye on her as she ran around the range. And, you know, if one of us was needing to tag team to get the other to watch her, it was nice. They're really flexible, and they're really
accommodating.
Thank you. They're very accommodating to us and making sure that we can still come out and participate, both of us, instead of just one. So it's really nice, and it makes sure I can get out and have some fun as well as Michael, even at the same time.
Yeah. Benny, do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to MD for getting my business cards finalized and printed and everything. Look pretty good.
Yeah, I think they look awesome.
Oh, I can't wait to see them.
I'll show you.
Let's see them.
If we ever get an actual insignia for the business, then we might change them. But for something that was just like, oh, there's a deal going on at Vistaprint, so let's get something done. I think she did an amazing job. So.
Oh, yeah, they look really good.
Shout out to her. And then shout out to listener Jonathan, who I met on Saturday. Yeah, he contacted me trying to find a non-Saturday PAL course, and then I turned him onto the show, and now he listens. So I met him for the first time, and yeah, so shout out to him, and that's it. Thomas?
I already went.
It was me.
It was Sarah.
Oh, right. Sorry. Whoops. Well, also George. Shout out to Sarah for coming on.
Thanks.
And George? Well, George's not here, but he
Bueller. We'd say Bueller. We're putting him under the bus, but
no, he's the king of the world on a boat like Leo.
Yeah, we're gonna throw him off the boat, aren't we?
So hard to work every lyrican. He's gone overboard.
We've pulled off a mutiny.
We think Wanda pushed him over.
Sarah's the new captain, leading the ship.
I'm the captain.
Look at me.
Much prettier captain than George.
I haven't seen that movie. I probably should watch it.
Yeah. No, it's just that line is all you need to know.
They'll find out.
Okay, so my shout out are to all the volunteers and sponsored of the last two big shoots. And really, of all the shooting, I've shot, I think, 4 or 5 matches since I've been on the show last. So,
like, big matches.
No, 2 big matches.
Yeah.
And then, like, a bunch of local matches.
Oh, last. I thought you meant in total. Never mind.
No, you've both been really busy.
Anyways, so I just want to thank all the volunteers, all the hard work that goes into all that. It's really appreciated, and it allows other people to have a lot of fun, and I hope to give back some more to the shooting community soon.
If it wasn't for the volunteers, we wouldn't be able to shoot.
Exactly. And I also want to give a shout out to Jeff. He was the co-match director.
Yeah, I believe he was the co
at the IDP Provincials. And, you know, I just talking to my squad, and he walked up and he said, "Are you Mike?" I'm like, "Yes." And he's like, "From New Shooter Canada." I was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "How did you know?" He's like, "Oh, I recognize your voice." So he is actually the first person, like, I would say outside of, like, the charity shoot where people actually, like, come and, like, expect to see you there. He's the first, quote-unquote, random person, even though we're at a gun range, to like, come up and be like, "Hey, I recognize your voice." So
that was pretty funny. You had no idea what he was talking about at first.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, I've never had someone like, come up and, like, recognize me, so that was really awesome.
And he said nice things.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if he's listening to the right show, but he said a lot of nice things. So yeah, that was really awesome. Oh, cool. So shout out to him.
Wait, Mike, you're moonlighting on another podcast?
Not very well.
I was not going to say it.
It might be on BennyLewis.ca.
Remember, I have to edit this show, so anything you say,
just get cut.
Or gets put in.
Yeah.
Yep. Stuff gets put in that I don't expect to be put in.
I know. I get asked sometimes if it's too much.
So you have the real veto power, I see.
There's some stuff I've told maybe shouldn't make it in the final cut.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. Just looking out for everyone.
Okay, so sign off, Mike, before we derail completely.
Sure, take us on out.
Okay, until next week, keep your barrels downrange and smoking.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
And Sarah?
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Perfect.
Good
night. Good night.
Well, I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
They're teeny weeny paragraphs, and she can read.
I hope so.
I would hope so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like me level.
Oh! Now you want to know how to insult me. That's out of 54.
You're higher than I thought.
Yeah, that's just all you could fit on a page.
I thought you were like third from the bottom.
No, I'm number 20, but it's out of 54. Ow!
Still in the top half.
You probably deserved it.
I probably did.
Does she keep wanting the mouse? Is that what's going on here? Maybe I want to try putting like an upgraded trigger group in my Tavor.
Oh, I would.
Aren't those like $300 starting?
Yes. That's why I said thinking about it. I'm not actually going to do it.
Stop doing that. I can't see.
Stop moving the cursor on her, Mike.
Okay, here we go. Not that we'll do any... God. Drink. I need to put my glasses on. Oh, Lordy. All the SOs and the ROs there were... What is...
Who's horrible music?
Sorry about that.
You're on this impassionate speech.
I know. Just how much I love Eagle Lake.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm lead host, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would help if I guided this podcast in a direction that we want to go in.
What's the next segment that we'll talk about?
I don't know. I'm trying to bring it up.
Let's go to events. Did I even say it right?
Let's say it right, and I'll just put that one in.
Man, you two sound like you're married.
But in a good way.
Not about how good or bad you do, it's how good you look doing it.
There you go.